Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we will come again. As your children, through your Son in his name, Emmanuel, God with us, and to know that you are with us wherever we are now, as we've gathered in the name of your Son, Jesus. Because you are with us, we want to just say thank you, Father, in your goodness and how you make yourself known and sharing with us your life, sharing with us your incredible mercy, kindness, your abilities, everything, Father, that we can really, as we have communion later on, just to eat with you this incredible celebration meal, celebrating the joy of being your children, reminded of your word that says this incredible love of yours that you've lavished, this you've poured over us, that we will be called your children of God. Your children. So thank you for that. We want to thank you that we can come knowing how much the depth of your love, as we experience how much you love those who have not yet heard the gospel, those who have not yet responded. And we ask today in the name of Jesus, draw them to your Son, Jesus, Father. Bring them to your Son that they can come to know you. They may experience the quality of life in you through your Son Jesus. And so we thank you, Father, as you draw men and women and children throughout this nation, throughout the nations, to your Son Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you for that. But today, Father, as we sit together with you, share with us the incredible, joyous celebration of being involved with you, with your good news, in sharing your good news, in doing your good news, in participating in your good news, so that as your disciples at Jesus, when they came back, they were so excited and you were so full of joy because they had just been part of your incredible love in action to touch people's lives. And we too want to thank you for that privilege of just being involved with you, Jesus, revealing the Father to people, helping people to experience the goodness of God in their lives, the victory, the incredible ability in the heart, the love of God in practical, tangible ways that goes deep into their soul dimension and into their bodies, Lord God. And we want to thank you for this. So today, Father, we rejoice. We celebrate. We celebrate that, Lord Jesus, you have entered into our communities wherever we may be because we've gathered in your name. And we're there in Forenach and in Funabel. You are there, Lord Jesus. And so we just ask now, Lord, let your name be heard in every home, every individual, by your Holy Spirit, by the angels. Let your name be heard. Draw people, Father, to your Son, Jesus Christ, as they hear his name in their spirit, as they hear his name in their minds, as they see in visions and dreams, as they sleep at night and whatever, they see you, Jesus Christ, and they are drawn to you. So this we want to thank you in Jesus' name. We receive the harvest. We receive the people in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Great stuff, guys. Sure. What we're going to do is going to just continue again, just in what God has been sharing with us about the name and getting more and more established in the name, having faith in the name of Jesus. And so I wanted to go to scripture there that's in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 5. And it's an amazing scripture because it's one of those clear scriptures that really illustrate very clearly that one cannot separate the name of Jesus from the person Jesus Christ. So when we do something in the name of Jesus, Jesus is there, we're doing it to him. And here's an incredible example of that over there in verse 4. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. You see, very clear. And that is why the name of Jesus and who he is, the person Jesus. You cannot separate. When we're praying in the name of Jesus, he's with us. When you know there's a dimension that we've been looking at, particularly in this one here, in Matthew 18, where two or three, because there's another aspect of the name of Jesus and his presence in that over there. But while I'm sharing this, and we'll see the details just now, but look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23. And this is his command. This is the command that God has given to us as believers. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen that before? Often we read, this is my command to love one another. But this is my command: that you believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Powerful. And this is what the Holy Spirit is helping us to be able to now to live in this command, to be able to fulfill and to obey this command, to keep this command from our Heavenly Father, that we may believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Why is that so important? Because as we believe in the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God becomes a reality, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the people all around us. And the revelation, the goodness, who the Father is made known through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Father is glorified through his Son, in his Son, Jesus Christ, and in us who believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why faith in the name of Jesus is so, so, so important for you and I. And then he carries on, and to love one another as he commanded us. To love requires faith. Because many times in loving as Christ loved, it goes beyond our natural abilities, our natural resources, goes beyond us. And it's going to be a step of faith that so often we've got to walk in to be able to be involved in healing the brokenhearted, to be able to involve in praying for the sick, etc. It's a walk of faith in the name of Jesus. And so that's a deep act of love, in the love of Christ, wanting to bring a touch, wanting to minister to people, requires us to have faith in his name, to know that he is present when we speak about his name. Okay, and so praise God that he's freeing us from the religious understanding or the intellectual understanding of the name of Jesus, and we're now living in the reality and you know, you and I know when this is real, because the depth of intimacy, the depth of the relationship, it's, you know, the name Christ is a substance that you walk on now. It's no longer just this fridge magnet reality, but you walk. There's that assurance, there's that confidence, there's that hope, there's that ability to be able to see in the spirit realm, which is unseen in the natural, because when the Holy Spirit speaks the word of God to you and I, that's in the spiritual realm straight away, and you're receiving that there, and you are walking on that up there. Now, again, why is this important? Well, why do we spend so much time in all of this? Here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I love when Peter speaks about grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a faith reality. This is that intimacy, that union, and it's all because of a faith. Faith in Christ has given us access into the reality of knowing God, the only true God, and his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay. And so again, it's all the faith there. But carry on and look at verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Remember, faith comes from hearing God speak. So God has spoken. So now we must add to that faith. Okay? How do we add to the faith? That's what you and I are doing right now. As the Holy Spirit, you see, when God speaks to you and I, and we hear him, that's an introduction to a far greater truth, a far greater revelation of what he has shared with you and I. And so we add to the faith by now walking and responding to what the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. And we add because now we're going to get more understanding. We're going to get more revelation, more knowledge. So he says here, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. And then he carries on. And so we see over here that, let me just go over here. Yeah. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, remember in Jesus' teaching in the parable of the sower, remember then verse 11 in Matthew 13, verse 11, Jesus replied, because the disciples asked, why do you speak in parables? And then Jesus said, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, that's hearing God speak, the Father is speaking, the Holy Spirit is giving us understanding, opening up spiritual truths and making it real to us. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Okay, because they haven't yet received. Their hearts are hardened still. Whoever has will be given more. Add to your faith. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. See, the more we walk in what God has given to us, the more he adds to that understanding, and the more productive we come in our knowledge of God. Faith comes from hearing, so that knowledge is based on us hearing God. And the more we walk in, the more fruitful we become. And so that is why it's so important for us to realize that when God speaks to you and I, that's the introduction. That's opening up the door for you and I to go on this incredible journey as the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit will just open up more and more, so that we will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And this is why I speak to them in parables. And so it's an exciting time to realize that what the Holy Spirit is just speaking to us now about having faith in the name of Jesus is only an introduction. There's so much more that now we're going to step, but we need to take what he's sharing now and to begin to apply that, begin to renew our mind to that, begin to respond to that, begin to take that step by faith in what he is busy sharing. And step by step, as we take step by step over there, the Holy Spirit reveals more and more and more and more. And that's how revelation, understanding and knowledge, etc., becomes more to you and I, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and so that's important. Now, today I want to just start tying a few things together. Here in Matthew chapter 9, and I'm sharing this because I'm listening and in the discussion amongst believers, and this is starting to come up now as well. And so I need to just share that. Here we see in Matthew chapter 9, in verse 16. And the context of here is when the Pharisees are coming and John's disciples come and say, but how is that the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? So it's speaking about the Pharisees fasting, but the disciples of Jesus are not fasting at all. Okay. And then Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? Time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making their tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out of the wineskins, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Now just notice again, the wine is singular, and the wineskins are plural. Okay, just keep that in your mind as we go on over here. So here we see that Jesus is now speaking about the old covenant and the new covenant that was about to come into reality after his death and resurrection, and when he asked the Father for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was given to the believers. And so he's now busy comparing the difference over here. And in Hebrews chapter 8, we see a very clear understanding over here. In Hebrews chapter 8, and we see over here in verse 6. The ministry Jesus has received is superior to theirs. This is now the old covenant. This is Moses receiving the law, etc. Is superior to theirs, as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there was nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been thought for another. But God found fault with the people, not with the covenant, with the people, and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." And this is what Jesus is addressing in Matthew 13, with the people of Israel and with the people of Judea. "It will not be like the covenant I made with the ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant," very important, "and I turned away from them." Okay, that's old covenant, because the fault was in the people. Okay, it's totally different today. And he says over there, "This is a covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God." Remember the name Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Okay. "And I will be their God, and they will be my people." Very important, God with us. The new covenant, all of a sudden in Christ Jesus, now he brings us to the Father. And it brings in the reality of that whole being really children of God because of the Holy Spirit within us. "No longer will they teach their neighbor and say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will know me." That's the key difference over here now, because the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And so the Holy Spirit cries out, "Abba, Father." Because we have the Holy Spirit, we now know the Father. "And I will forgive their wickedness, and they will remember their sins no more. By calling the new covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear." So he has a very clear understanding that the writer of the Hebrews is explaining and locking the teachings of Jesus and sharing what, you know, the whole reality when Jesus spoke about the living waters flowing from within, etc., the abundant life, those who will worship in spirit and truth. All of this here the writer is sort of unlocking that for us to begin to understand. And so we see very clearly over here that the old covenant is a external reality of God. The new covenant is internal. It's all inside now. It's no longer outside over there. It's no longer in the distance. We now have this. Remember Jesus says, "When I go to the Father, I'm going to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. The Spirit will come and make his dwelling within you. And what's going to happen? Then you will know. Then you will know. No longer will you be external. It's internal. Then you will know from within that I am in the Father is in me, and I am in you. And then he carries on over there about as you love me, what's taking place, the Father and I will come and make our dwelling within you. Okay, so that's the reality of the new covenant in that. So we see here, because when we look at the wineskins, very, very often, and we look at that scripture, very, very often what takes place over there is that we're looking at, particularly us in church leadership, we're looking at a new structure. We're looking at a new way of doing things based on how do we change the structure. Okay. And what do we see over here that Jesus is saying, no, that's not at all what we're speaking about over here. And so an incredible truth is found in what we see over here in 2 Corinthians, you know, about the new creation, because the wineskins is the new creation man. It's not a structure. It's not a system. It is the people of God. You and I, as believers in Christ Jesus, we are the new wineskin. Okay, Jesus is not building a structure. We are his people. He's building us. Okay, and he has poured his wine. That is the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts. God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and so he has poured his incredible love into our hearts. And so now the new wine is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Father and the Son, by how the Holy Spirit has come and made their dwelling within us. So now we know God. There's an intimacy. We there's a relationship taking place over there. But we are the new wineskins. And that's why when Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians, and he speaks there from verse 14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And before we carry on, remember when Paul is writing in Romans chapter 6 about our participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we have died to the old in Christ Jesus. So the old man has been put to death. We've been raised with Christ. And just as Paul is writing, he died for all, that those who live, you and I who believe, we now live. We've got the life of Christ in us, should no longer live for themselves. And what did Paul write there? And as we've been raised with Christ, in order that we may live a new life, in order that we may serve the living God. See? And so and that's why when we understand that you and I are we the new wineskin. This new wineskin is no longer the old. The old is gone. It's new. So this new wineskin that contains the Holy Spirit, that carries the fullness of God within us, this new wineskin, you and I, we have a different pathway now. We now live a new life. And this is why you and I, this is why the Holy Spirit is helping us to understand what it means to have faith in the name of Jesus. Because as we get established and believe in the name of Jesus, and as we march in the name of Jesus, as we live in the name of Jesus, as we do work in the name of Jesus, what's taking place there is that as a new wineskin, as a people that has got God within us, Emmanuel, we now are seeing and enabling the kingdom of God to be established wherever we go. Okay. And so us as new wineskins, it's not about ourselves anymore. We should not, now we no longer live for ourselves. but for him who died for them and was raised again. And that's the key. That's the difference between the old and the new. Because now the old has gone, the old nature, that which is rebellion against God. We've got now the nature of Christ. We've got the righteousness of Christ. We've got the law of the Spirit of God. And so now we are no longer people. We realize as a new wineskin, our citizenship has changed. Our humanity has changed. We are now citizens of the kingdom of God. We are citizens of heaven. And so now when we start to be established in that, what takes place? Something happens in the heart. And that there's a security that comes. Everything changes because we're now starting by faith to believe in the name of Jesus, to believe in Christ, who has through him we have been redeemed from the dominion of darkness, and we now are in a kingdom. We live in a kingdom, and now we are involved. And that's why in the church, sort of in church structures, that is why what we shared last time, that we no longer come into a church, because when two or three are gathered, Jesus is there. We're coming to Jesus. We're coming to meet with Jesus. For everyone that's tithing and giving, etc., you're not tithing to a church. You're tithing to Jesus. You are giving to Jesus. Okay? That's the new covenant reality. No longer the old covenant. You're giving to Jesus. And that's the breakthrough that people will begin to have, because many times in the old covenant, tithing and giving and all that kind of things was an order for me to be blessed in finances and to have a better bank account. No. That is totally not the new wineskin. Okay. Whatever we do, whether it's tithing, praying, worshiping, whatever we do, we're doing it in the name of Jesus. He's present, and we're offering it to him. We're doing it for him. It's our worship to him. Okay. And that's the life. You see, that brings you into the life of God. And it's powerful. Okay. So that's just, by the way, as we carry on over here. So now in verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Since we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The new wineskin has come. Okay? The old wineskin is gone. The new garment has come. The new garment is a profound truth, because now we are clothed with Christ, the new garment. So you can't put, religion tries to, what religion does is try to clothe somebody with a garment of the knowledge, religion, of all the knowledge of Christ. No. We are clothed with Christ Jesus. Totally different. Okay. And so we are clothed with the robes of salvation. We are clothed now with the garment of praise. We are clothed with the armor of light. You see, that's the new garment. Okay. Okay. We are a new creation. So we've got a new garment in Christ. We're covered with Christ. We're clothed. We're in him. Okay. And it's a different life now. We're no longer living the old. So that's why understanding in the name of Jesus, we start to move in the way of Jesus. We start to walk in the way of faith. We now keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And it's the way of Jesus. It's his way. He's leading us. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. All of those incredible truths. Now, as we start this, all those truths, the Holy Spirit now, because this is an introduction into much more, the Holy Spirit opens up those truths more and more and more and more. And we experience what it is to really enjoy living as a new garment, as new wineskin. Okay. And so, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Praise God for that. The old has gone. Praise God for that. The new is here. Praise God for that. This is why we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. We're celebrating this new, who we are in Christ Jesus, and beginning to understand faith in him opens us up. Faith in Jesus makes this all so real to you and I. And we become so free of the posh, become so free of the stuff that used to hold us back over there, and we can move forwards into the future. Remember when Jesus says, I am the way. So if you want to know your future, be in Jesus. He is the way. Okay. And just settle that there and rest in that there. And you have tremendous peace in his ability to lead you, because he is the way, and have faith in him. Now we carry on. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God. Incredible good news from God. Remember the good news of the gospel? God's good news to mankind in and through his son, Jesus Christ. This is what he's done. He's dealt with the old. We are new people. And because we are new, he can come and dwell with us. He couldn't come dwell in the old. We had to become new people so that he can put his wine in us. So at one burst, okay, our old humanity is not able to contain the Holy Spirit. We needed to have a new spirit, a redeemed spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell within us and in our hearts. Deep stuff that I'm sharing, but meditate on that. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for him now as his new wineskin. We're not trying to patch up the old. We're not trying to patch up religion. We're not trying to patch up the old human nature and try and add biblical truth into the old the old nature to try and fix them up. No. help them to be realized and to come into Christ Jesus, so that they can be a new creation. Let them have truth so that the truths will not spill out. The truths are in the new wineskin, and they can grow and be established and live a fruitful life. You see, counseling needs to have a new understanding. We're not trying to, because counseling, a lot of counseling is trying to patch up the old wineskin or the old garment with biblical truths. Let's just repent from that and start living in the new way that God is leading us. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. That's why whatever we do, we go in the name of Jesus. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God himself were making his appeal through us. And that's what's taking place. Because when we go in the name of Jesus, God is present. And it's God himself involved in drawing people to Jesus, his son, so that through the son Jesus, they can now come and know him as an incredible, awesome father and live in the father's love. Okay. And so that's important. Now, in Acts chapter 17, again, folk are starting to speak about this, so the Holy Spirit is starting to bring it into people's lives. Now, in Acts chapter 17, Paul is in Athens, and because this is the new creation that we're speaking about, the new wineskin, and the reality of having faith in the name of Jesus and living in that realm of his kingdom, and finding that peace and that joy and just that incredible place. And so people are busy. There's all these idols in the city over there. And so in verse 17, say, reasoned in the synagogue with both Jew and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus. God's incredible good news about Jesus. Have you ever asked yourself, what did Jesus preach? What did Jesus teach? Good question. Okay, now we go on and we see, then verse 19, then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is what you are presenting. You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean. Okay, and this is when Paul stands up, and he then begins to speak to them. He says, I see that in every way you are religious, for as I walk around and look carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. Now look at this, verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in the world of heaven and of earth does not live in the temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. For one man, from one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out the appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that, and Neville, this is why this is important for you, because in understanding the folk that you're dealing with there, where God appointed them, the reason is God did this so that they would seek him. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. That is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Now, just quickly here in Colossians, I'm going to come back to the scripture here, but in Colossians, we see an amazing prayer, because that's what this is all about. In Colossians chapter 1, because we speak about in him, now listen to about the Son. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created. See, exactly what Paul is proclaiming there in Athens over there. This is what it's all about. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. That's why the ministry of reconciliation. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And so that is what, in a nutshell, what Paul is writing here in verse 27, or verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own posts have said, we are his offspring. Now, just quickly in this over here, because the time is gone. In verse 28, for in him, obviously that is in Christ, have faith in the name of Jesus. For in him, what takes place now? Because we've been raised from the dead, we've died to the old, we are this new creation, we're the new garment, we've been clothed with Christ, we're the new wineskins, you and I, we are this new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new, he's poured his spirit within us. So now we can contain truth. We can contain the Word of God. We can now contain the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit within us, because us being a new creation in Christ Jesus. Okay. Meditate. That's big. Okay. Now because we are in him, we live in him. And so, sorry. So that is speaking about, first of all, the incredible abundant life that we have in Christ Jesus, the quality, the eternal life, the quality of life that we now have. Now, because the spirit of life is within us, Christ in us, the resurrected Christ, his life, he's the living one, dwells within us by the Holy Spirit. So now in him we live, okay? So now we are alive in Christ Jesus. Now that we are alive, we've been taken out of the dominion of darkness. We're in the kingdom. And so now we've got a mandate, the Great Commission. We've got a mandate of reconciliation. We've got a mandate to, Father, today, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we have a mandate to yield ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that now the Christ within us can minister and make the Father known to people all around us. Because that's the Father's heart. He wants, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father. And so the heart of Jesus living in us by the Holy Spirit is to make the Father known to people that you and I interact with or are involved with. Okay. And then he says, and we move. The word move, again, it's lifestyle, but it's more than lifestyle. It's dealing with emotions. It's dealing with the way we think. It's dealing with the soul dimension as well. So that's powerful, because now when you have faith in the name of Jesus and you now realize, but Lord, I live in you, you have to experience this. And I think many of you have. You've got to experience this, because it cannot be taught. But you now enter into an incredible realm of security. You enter into a realm of being so secure in life because you're in Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above every other name. You've entered into the one who has overcome this world. You've entered into the one who has destroyed the works of Satan. You and I have entered into him. We live in him. A place of tremendous security that you and I. That's why when we're anxious, come to the Father with our prayers and requests, and faith in the name of Jesus, what takes place? The peace of God now guards our hearts and minds, because now by faith we've now been established that we actually live in Christ Jesus. And that's a place of tremendous peace and rest. Okay? And we move. So now all of a sudden we realize, but Lord, even my future, my career, everything about my life, because I'm in you, I also move. I live in the reality of being in you. What a place of rest and protection. What a place of hope concerning the tomorrows. Because we move in him. Christ is eternal. He's the Alpha and Omega. Okay? It's like we're living it, that today's going to be the end kind of stuff. No. We live in him. We move. We live our daily lives, our emotions, our thought process. It's all in him. And that brings life. That brings hope. That brings, we can walk on faith. We can walk in faith now. And we have our being. Incredible reality, this, because that deals with our identity. It deals with us being children of God, secure in the fact that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Secure in the fact that all things work for the good for those who love him. That's identity is profound. And that's why so many people are battling, you know, like with the ministry that Neville and I'm involved, battling there to try and find their true identity. But when we start to operate, we're going in the name of Jesus. And as we go, we know the Holy Spirit is working, so that the Holy Spirit will enable them to be drawn to Jesus so that they can find their true identity as citizens of the kingdom of God. See, it takes them to a higher, it frees them from being ground bound and brings them into the reality of life in the kingdom of God. And that's the quality of life that Jesus wants for all of humanity. And it's what he has done that brings us into the access of the quality of life that's found in our Heavenly Father. So I'm going to leave that at that there this morning. And so when we have the communion now, again, it's a time of celebration. It's just a time of tremendous joy, just the name above every other name, Jesus Christ, and just celebrating the incredible name of our Lord Jesus. So let's just have a moment of silence as we just pray quickly. Father, your good news is incredible. And I'm asking today that your Holy Spirit will share with each and every one of us the message that Jesus taught, the gospel of the kingdom. What was the good news to the poor? Well, thank you. We want to thank you, Father, that the whole desire of Jesus in your heart is that humanity can come home. and experience what it is to be loved by you, Father, to be at home, our true home. And so as we celebrate, Jesus, what you have done, we celebrate it with such joy that we are a new creation. The old is gone. And so thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Amen. So just enjoy the communion time together.